8 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, and it is 8 o'clock. It's almost time to play the Fanatic Football Pool, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Call the contest line now, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller, and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool, and everything in it, prizes in the pool so far, include a Physique Round Barbecue and Fire Pit Kit from Landis Block, Talking Teddy Bear from the movie Ted. You know that teddy bear that was with Mark Wahlberg all the time. Fantastic stuff. That movie is very funny and very creative. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. A full-year supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. Now, you got the barbecue, honey barbecue, the regular butter popcorn, original popcorn, cheese, hot cheese popcorn, one of my favorites. The red hot chips, one of my favorites. Right? I wonder if you can get, since you know, have a full supply of Hers Snacks, I wonder will they give you the chocolate-covered pretzels. Those are always good as well. And you get Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll and $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And we're adding prizes all the time. All right? The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. So, again, call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975, and in a few minutes, we'll give you an opportunity to win. Whoever the winner is, we'll give you the opportunity to win, you win the $100, and then you'll qualify again for the grand prize drawing for the entire Fanatic Football Pool. Barrett Brooks will be up immediately after. We do that so we can get ready to get Barrett in just a few minutes. And Tyler was gracious enough to give us the names of the cornerbacks in that 2017 draft, that season that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Marlon Humphrey, Adoree Jackson, Garyon Conley, who we know had a sexual assault situation going on against him. That's why he dropped a little bit. Well, it was at least out there that was a possibility. Kevin King and Tre'Davious White were all the corners right in that area in 2017 that we were talking about. And remember, Sidney Jones was selected in the second round. So there you have it. With that, 610-632-0975. If you do want to get in, hang on for a bit with us while we talk to Barrett, while we try to give away this contest, qualify someone for this contest, and we'll just have a good time for the rest of the night, of course. So 610-632-0975. We're talking about Carson Wentz, and we'll play the audio for the part of our conversation that we're talking about in just a minute. Actually, we'll play the audio when we get Barrett on to let Barrett hear it with Adam Kaplan and Jeff Mosher from the Inside the Birds podcast, because that's why, for people who are just tuning in, they're like, why are you talking about Carson Wentz again? It was just based off some information that they had on their podcast, and I thought it was relevant to the conversation overall with what we've been talking about. So, you know, it was, why not let's get into this one more time and have this talk about what's going on with your quarterback and how much faith and trust and all of that stuff you have in him going forward as they get ready for this upcoming game against the LA Rams on Sunday, which is a big contest. They need to win this game. Let's just call it for what it is. They need to win this game because after Cincinnati in week three, that's a tough stretch there. That's a tough stretch. So they need to win this game. All right. It is time. Let's do it, Tyler.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
That's right. 8 o'clock every night on our show, we have our football pool contest that we want to do here and give away some money and give you an opportunity to qualify for the grand prize the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, all the prizes. We just laid them out. So we do have someone on the line calling number 5. It's easy. Every night we let you know what the number is. And right now we do have Brittany from Quakertown joining us right now on the Comcast contest line. And we bring Brittany up from Quakertown right now. Britt!
Hey!
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, first, congratulations because you are the 5th caller. And Brittany, you've already won $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook.
Awesome.
So congratulations for that. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple football trivia question. And if you get the answer correct, you will be put in the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. And Brittany, I just want to say we have a streak going on from the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where everyone has gotten the answer correctly. So, some pressure on you right now, Britt.
A lot of pressure.
All right. Well, here's the question. Brittany, former Eagles quarterback Ron Jaworski had his number 7 jersey retired back in 1990. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
Oh, Britt. Oh, unfortunately, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. He did not have his jersey retired back in 1990. That is incorrect, but you're still the winner, Brittany, of $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And we appreciate you playing, Brittany. Enjoy, of course, that $100. Spend it wisely. And we appreciate you playing tonight with us. So we'll put you on hold. Make sure Tyler has your information so you can get that $100, Brittany, from Quakertown once again. So, Brittany, sorry. The Fanatic Football Pool, again, is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Jaws did not have his jersey retired back in 1990. That is false, right? And we know that it is still out there because right now Nate Sudfeld is wearing jersey number 7 right now. We know that Michael Vick wore jersey number 7 while he was a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. So there you have it. All right, there you have it. So, sorry, Britt. We'll try again next time. I know we'll get it done the next time for sure. All right. 610-632-0975 to get us on the phones if you want to talk about Carson Wentz. Again, we don't break for another 15 minutes, but we're going to have right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. And this is a treat for us because it's my buddy, it's my friend, it's my brother. Of course, doing shows with him in the past. And he has agreed to come on every week on Thursdays at 8 o'clock to break down things with us from the game that we saw and the game that we are going to see on the next game upcoming. So right now we go to the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, from NBC Sports Philadelphia, my brother, Barrett Brooks. What's up, B. Brooks?
What's going on, bro? How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going, man. I wish it was. I wish we were talking under some better conditions here because of what happened last week. So let's get right into it, man. They lost the game 27-17. They had the 17-0 lead early on. They gave up 27 unanswered, and we know what the result of it is. As you looked at everything overall, it is now Thursday. You've probably seen the game like 5 times knowing you. Barrett, what was the problem?
Man, I'm just going to tell you the truth, man. At this point, you just got a lot of young guys that just don't have the cohesiveness they need to play in the league, man. You're talking about guys are going out and, you know, we had two rookies playing wide receiver, and we had two starting guys, you know, a rookie and a first-year guy on the offensive line. Now, you can't expect positive results from having young guys like that starting games. I mean, you know, I just saw, something from Nate Herbig. He said he didn't even know. It was a surprise to him that he was even starting. So it was a surprise to him. You know, I mean, come on now. It shouldn't have been a surprise. You know, I don't know what Matt Pryor did to fall out of grace with this team. But, whatever he needs to do to get back into the grace, man, he needs to go ahead and do it. Because at this point, I can't see them winning against this Rams team going in there with Nate Herbig starting or even – Jamon Brown. They just picked up. I mean, how can you ask a guy to come in off the streets and play and be able to play at a high level against the best defensive player in the league? You just can't do it. So I just saw a lot of mistakes. Everybody took their turn from the quarterback to the wide receivers, you know, even on the defensive side of the ball. I know nobody's saying really a lot about what they did. They played well at times, you know, but I mean, at the end of the day, if they don't score, they win the game. So, you know, it was just, you know, everybody made a mistake. Too many guys made mistakes at the wrong time, and, you know, it led to them losing the game.
Well, Barrett, and I got this information, and of course it's funny because I was watching the post game with you guys after the game, and this stat came up. 14 of 17 for Carson Wentz is what he started, 182 in the air for two touchdowns, 149.6 passer rating. He ended the game 10 of 25 for 88 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, 16.8 quarterback rating. As you said, a lot of people had their hand in this loss. What specifically changed for him, Carson Wentz, to make him look so bad in the second half?
Well, it has a lot to do with
from the first interception and then thereon.
Right. It has everything to do with, you know, Washington doing their homework. They went into halftime and looked at what they had on the offensive line. And they brought a lot of blitzes. They brought a lot of stunts to that side. Understand that those guys are too young to really learn how to pick up these stunts, you know, not having an NFL snap. They didn't have preseason to get to know each other or even play with each other. So, I mean, they caught them a lot of the times with their pants down simply because they hadn't played together. So they made sure that they brought the majority of their stunts, games, and blitzes from their right side. Then you go to the rest of the offense. They just weren't in sync. You know, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on Carson. Carson was in a bad position because they didn't move around. You know, when you get a circumstance like that to stop the bleeding, you got to do with somebody. You know, you got to do with somebody dealing with a guy in his face all the time. Then you can't pass the ball as much. We should have locked down and ran the ball. Whether it's successful or not, slow them down. You have to run the ball. Give them a sense that they have to, you know, play the run going to the pass. And we didn't do that, which allowed that defensive line to pin their ears back and rush the passer and put too much pressure on Carson to really make any of the right reads or even get the ball down the field. And, you know, for us to think we're going to push the ball down the field, even with all that speed, you know, it's ludicrous because the guys up front couldn't block. You know, and that just comes from those guys not playing together and not being aggressive enough to stop guys in the line of scrimmage on stunt plays. They were getting pressed back too much. They were sitting in Carson's lap every single time. And I know they wanted to be aggressive. I know they wanted to push the ball down the field. But you can't do it when you have an offensive line that was porous like it was this last game.
Yeah, and Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Barrett will join us every Thursday at 8 o'clock to break down the game, look ahead to the next contest. And B, when you look at everything that you just said with that and the lack of chemistry overall, no OTAs, no real training camp like we're accustomed to seeing out there, and you have these young players, the interceptions that we saw, where do you place most of the blame? Do you put it at the feet of Carson Wentz, or do you put it at the feet of the young receivers in Hightower and Rager?
Well, I mean, you got to understand that Carson's the one making the decision to throw to those young guys. There was plenty of guys he could have thrown to. He could have went to the opposite side of the field. You know, he has his tight ends there. You know, he also has a make them put Deshaun back in the game. Because if you see the play, the receivers just weren't aggressive enough and didn't come back to the ball and attack the ball. You have to do that. They could get away with that stuff in college, but you can't get away with the NFL level. You know, they got to understand it. You know, these guys playing across have families to feed at home. You know, they got mouths to feed, you know, so they're going to play their a higher level. Well, our guys didn't have that, you know, sense of urgency to go get the ball. And that's what happened. You know, they didn't come back for the ball. They didn't come out of their routes aggressive enough. They didn't really play at an NFL level. You can see the college level in their game. So that's what happened. They just weren't aggressive enough. And then, you know, Carson's got to know you can't expect these young guys to play at that level just yet. You got to get the cohesiveness with them. You got to build a chemistry with them. And he doesn't really have that with them right now. You know, this was their first game speed. It's the first game of the year. I mean, you can't expect them to be at that level yet. You know, just like you said, no camp, no OTAs. You know, no preseason game. It's just a lot to ask a young guy to come and play at a level that he's never played at before. You know, and they hadn't seen that level of play yet. You know, it's a lot different in practice where they blow the whistle early and then you can't hit a guy as opposed to going out there, you know, when it's blood in the water, no sharks, you know, they ready to feed, man. And that's exactly what happened to them.
And speaking of youth, and we talk about the offensive line, Lane Johnson out, Miles Sanders out as well, Boston Scott, Corey Clement with the responsibility at the running back spot. You've already mentioned Nate Herbig, but on the right side in place of Lane Johnson, you and I talked about this guy quite a few times since he was selected, Driscoll. And he started in place of Lane Johnson as an offensive lineman. What did you see from him on the right side?
Well, I mean, I saw him just being young. You know, the first sack they gave up was an instance where he went the wrong way. He didn't block the right guy. I mean, they were in slide protection. It was probably two jet. You know, two jet is slide protection. You're going to slide your line to the left. Well, I guess he played it like three jet. They slid the line, and he thought he was supposed to go out to the outside guy. You know, that's what two jet is. You slide. It's four down in the wheel linebacker. Well, he blocked it like he was going out for the wheel linebacker, which happened to be a safety, and he went out there instead of staying on this guy. And you can see him and the running back were like, you know, the running back like, well, what are you doing? Well, he understands the running back has the Mike the Sam, that's his read, and Driscoll is supposed to stay on the big guy. You know, that's what we call it. You know, the front side has big, the back side has slide. And he stayed with the slide the wrong way, which got Carson killed on the first time for the first sack. So, you know, he's just a young guy, made a young mistake, you know, but he can't do that when you have $100 million quarterback sitting back there. You just can't have those type of mistakes.
And then they go out and make a move and they bring someone in off the practice squad from the Chicago Bears. You mentioned Jamon Brown, a veteran who has had some success and he got a pretty decent contract, but it started to regress in his overall play, Barry. What can you tell us about him as he come in as a guard, and do we expect to see him sooner rather than later in place of Herbig?
Well, you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword. Now, you're asking a guy to come in off the street, doesn't know the offense, and when you don't know an offense, you play kind of tentative, you play slower. You know, if you know the offense, you can read and react, you can play fast, you know the terminology, you can play at a high level. If you don't, you're going to be timid in the way you play. I mean, that's just the nature of football. He doesn't know the call. He doesn't know the offense. I don't know if they can get him up to speed enough to go in there and play and start against the best defensive player in the league. Aaron Donald's one of those players that, you know, I would even be losing sleep if I was Brandon Brooks. And Brandon Brooks is a hell of a player, probably, you know, a top two guard in the league. But still, you know, that's still a tough battle for even him. But then you're going to ask the likes of Brown coming in who doesn't know the offense. Nate Herbig was playing soft because he wasn't aggressive enough to, you know, shut off stunts and really play in the game because he wasn't ready to play yet. You know, that's not his fault. You know, he's trying to get ready, but he's just not ready yet. He's still a young guy. To ask him, I mean, I want to know really what Matt Pryor did to fall out of grace, man. What the hell did he do to have him bench like that? And he's, you know, he's an afterthought. I mean, they might as well just cut him now because he hasn't even, you know, he's not even in the conversation about playing. I mean, what did he do? He would be one hell of a player if they could allow him, if they went in there and allowed him to play, man. And I don't see him doing that. So whatever he did, man, I feel sorry for the kid.
Well, they're going to, if he's not out there, obviously they went out there and got some reinforcements for him. But as we look ahead to the Los Angeles Rams, they beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, come here 1-0. And right now the Eagles are a little bit banged up, but they are going to get some people back, it looks like, with Lane Johnson, Miles Sanders practicing. And
well,
some
changes, yeah. It'll change the outlook of how they play this game, they call this game. You know, there's a lot more confidence with Miles Sanders being in there and Lane Johnson at right tackle.
Right. So, how does it change then? How do we look at this? Looking ahead to this game, what do they need to do, especially with those two back, to win the game on Sunday?
Well, you can call your game then. You know, Doug, even though he's run a running back by committee, that's too predictable. When you have a running back by committee, everybody knows when you had, you know, Darren Sproles come in the game, either you're going to be a draw or they're going to, you know, run a play in which, you know, a screen pass or something like that. You know, when they had LeGarrette Blount, he comes in, they know it's 4 yards and a cloud of dust. He's going to run it up in there. He's not going to run a screen play or run a draw play. He's, you know, he's going north and south. You know, and that's the type of backs that they had, you know, but now Miles Sanders is that back that he could be a bell cow back. That won't be predictable because he can run screens. He can run draws. He can run up the middle. He can run to the outside. He can do everything that, you know, the playbook allows him to run because he's a multifaceted back. And Doug is comfortable with Miles Sanders. So the whole playbook opens up when he's in there. So now the offense won't be as predictable. And then when you have Lane in there, now you have two Pro Bowlers, on the outside, in the inside of a guard, whoever it is. It gives you now a sense of comfort. Now you can tell, hey, man, make sure you set here. All right, this is what you have on this play. And just, whoever that is, playing in between those two guys will give him a little more confidence, and he can ask questions. And because he couldn't ask questions last week when he turned to his right because he had a rookie who was probably asking him questions. So, now it'll be a comfort level with the guy that's at the right guard position when you have Lane and Kelsey playing in between those guys. So the playbook is going to open up a lot more. There'll be a lot more confidence also in running the ball. It'll just be a better sense of relief, because now Carson will be more comfortable knowing that he has his Pro Bowl right tackle lined up in front of him.
All right, and on the other side, Barrett again joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. The offense for the Los Angeles Rams and the Eagles defense, Brandon Graham in concussion protocol, Vinnie Curry now out, and you look at everybody else that has to step up while things are going on with them. Jared Goff has the weapons of Kupp, Woods, Reynolds, Brown, Akers, Jefferson. They have a lot of stuff over there, Barrett. Can they stop this offense?
I feel more comfortable with our defense now with the addition of the DBs that we have. People aren't really making a fuss about it, but they should be. The fact that they have a nickel cornerback that can really play, man. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. When they got Roby Coleman, he flew under the radar as far as guys that they signed. And this guy can really play, man. He can shut it down. And he's also comfortable playing on the outside. So now the best receiver can be followed by Slay. I had a lot of confidence in Avante Maddox because he's been our best cover guy for the past 2 years. Now they have Roby Coleman out there. He can play in the slot and play on the outside. And I tell you what, it also brings up the level of competition. So now, you got guys like LeBlanc. He's going to want to come out there. He want to get his reps off. So all these guys are competing, which, it's infectious, man. It's infectious. So now these guys are fighting for time out there. So you're going to try to play the best you can. And when we get a pass rush, when we, Barnett's back, hopefully he brings us a pass rush. Once these guys come out there and they really start playing and heating it up a little bit, it's going to make a real difference on how teams try to stop our defense. Now people are looking across the line like, all right, it's not just, I'm just going to throw it up there. And I know our wide receiver is going to run past our DBs, or always they get double move. We know it's going to be six. Now they're going to have to play. Now they got to drive the ball to try to dink and dunk and stop, try to stop this defense from really picking things up. Cause it was a good thing it felt good for me to look at the defense and not worry about somebody getting double moved and beat over the top. I saw receivers go to catch balls, and there were DBs there to contest it. That was a great feeling I had when I looked at that.
And when you mentioned Roby Coleman, he knows the Los Angeles Rams very well. He knows.
That's right. Da-da-da.
Yeah. So coming from there, he knows them pretty well. Of course, they'll change things up, but, tendencies and all. You're there so long, what the quarterback likes to do, what type of movement and all that the receivers like to do, what they like to do on their breaks and all. So that'd be interesting to see overall when we do it. But make sure you guys listen and watch Barrett, of course, on NBC Sports Philadelphia all week, and certainly on game days pre and post game. It's a treat. You learn so much with Barrett on that panel breaking things down. B, every Thursday, man, 8 o'clock again. Just to say it in front of everybody, I appreciate you doing this for us, and we'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on, guys. Appreciate you, bro.
Always, man. Thanks, you. Barrett Brooks again, NBC Sports Philadelphia, breaking it down like nobody else can on that offensive line and everywhere else, giving us all the ins and outs of the football game. So listen, Brian, Bob, Lee, Q, everybody that has hung on through the break, I really appreciate it. Hang on. We come right back. 25 commercial free. I will shut up. I will say your name, where you're from, and let you go. All right, so quick one, 610-632-0975. Two open phone lines. We'll take our break. We'll come right back. We'll get to Brian, Bob, Lee, Q, and there are a few open phone lines again if you want to check in right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Don't damn power.
832-975, The Fanatic, and we thank Bear Brooks once again for joining us, 610-632-0975. Every Thursday, 8 o'clock, Barrett Brooks from NBC Sports Philadelphia will jump in and help us break down what we saw and what we didn't see, and some of the things that he may have seen on film and what we can get ourselves prepared for the upcoming game. This week, it happens to be the Los Angeles Rams. 610-632-0975. All right, since we're back, we have 25 minutes commercial. Actually, 20 minutes now commercial free. So when we get ready to take the phone calls, which we will in a second, 610-632-0975. We'll give you Adam Kaplan one more time with Brian, Bob, and Q already waiting. Good to hear that one more time. And right now we get a quick poll update from Tyler Zuli on 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. Tyler, what do you have for us right now?
So, like we talked about yesterday, we're kind of starting to try to turn the page on week one a little bit, and we've done it a little bit today. So we were curious if you're confident heading into week two. I know not everybody is, but if you're confident heading into week two against the Rams, what makes you the most confident? Your options are Miles Sanders / Lane Johnson returning to play, Doug Peterson's stellar record against the Rams. Week one was, simply put, just one game or other, and you can write that in so far. Right now, we got a little bit over 300 votes. This is a runaway. 74% right now say they are most optimistic or most confident because of the fact that Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson are going to be returning.
Okay.
Second place, 19%. Week one was just one game. Just 5% say Doug Peterson has a great record against the Rams, and under 2% have other opinions.
So again, it's pretty much the what Barrett just said. Things change when you have two of your better players coming back. Like again, that just makes sense. So we'll see how that goes. And Brian, Bob, and Q, here's once again, as we get to you guys and everybody else there following, here is once again Adam Kaplan and Jeff Mosher from their Inside the Birds podcast.
The real regression with mechanics started at 19. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Now, one source told me, and this, I've never heard this before, Carson's mechanics, he's a freelancer. I go, what the hell does that mean? I didn't quite understand. He goes, he doesn't really follow the rules for footwork sometimes. He moves when he should move. I mean, Cosell said he sometimes falls away from throws, but he freelances his footwork. You can't do that. He cannot get away with it, Jeff. So to sum this up, his footwork right now is not good. He's pointing his foot sometimes not right. It's too far down, and that causes the ball to go up. It always, folks, when you watch the game Sunday, if you could get any kind of good camera angle, slow it down if you're at home, watch his feet. That's where it starts. You'll know if he's going to be inconsistent with his mechanics by starting with his feet.
All right, Adam Kaplan again with Jeff Mosher on their Inside the Birds podcast. Hear them on Mondays, 6 to 8, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and their podcast on all platforms as well. So what do you guys think? What do you take from that? I don't want to hear that from my fifth-year quarterback. Let's go to Brian in Collingswood. Again, 610-632-0975. Brian, what's up?
Hey, Devon, how are we doing tonight?
Good, man. Thank you so much for hanging on through the interview.
Oh, of course. I'm actually kind of glad I'm coming out the other side of Brooks' interview, because there's another point that plays into what I wanted to talk about that he brought up.
Okay.
Wentz isn't perfect. He definitely played one of his worst games that we've seen out of him on week one. But what I'm kind of more concerned about than just Wentz and his ability to adjust is more of the oversight coming from the coaching staff. And it starts with Doug needing to be more in touch with his positional coaches. You know, when it comes to Carson, we went from DeFilippo to Press Taylors, who's, you know, I don't think he's ever played professional football. He's just played college. And he's only 5 years older than Carson. He's a young guy. He doesn't demand that respect that DeFilippo did. It just seems like he's not holding Carson accountable to saying, hey, here's the changes that we need to make in the moment.
Or is he, though, sure. Brian? And when we talked about it when we started things off, he's stubborn, where he won't take that. You know what I'm saying?
That's possible, but you see everything that would say the opposite of that when you see Carson, the person, you know, talking and owning up to the mistake like he did after week one, right? He said he demands better from himself. And I don't take Carson to be, you know, one person to the camera and another person outside of that. It seems like everything that we've seen from Carson, the man, that he is who he says he is. Now, I'm sure he may be stubborn, but, you know, again, we saw what happened in 2017 under DeFilippo when somebody said, no, stop that. This is what you got, how you're going to do this.
Right, right.
Right. And Press Taylor, like I said, somebody that's a younger person, somebody that, you know, he himself is finding his way along the coaching path. You know, I was a little concerned that we doubled down on him and kind of gave him a little mini promotion with his role with the team this year, and kind of expect to step back and kind of address Doug and how Doug is kind of out of touch with his positional coaches. You know, you look what happened with Mike Groh, coming out of last season, where Doug came up to the podium and said, no, we like Mike Groh, we're going to keep Mike Groh on. And what happened within 24 hours? Uh-huh. He was gone.
Yep, and Carson was, right? Both of them.
Exactly, exactly. And also, one of my biggest ones that I wanted to see gone for multiple years was Corey Unland, the DB coach.
Yeah.
And you just saw that the yards allowed per game went from something like 21st to 25th to 29th, three consecutive years, and Corey Unland was still on, and we didn't even release Corey Unland. Corey Unland got another job elsewhere, and he just walked. So it just seems like Doug is out of touch with where, you know, the positional coaches are falling behind. He's really lucky he has Rich Scangarello. He's really lucky he has Deuce Staley. And he's really lucky he has Matt Burke, because those are very talented positional coaches that you have there on the O-line, on the D-line, and at running back.
Yeah.
And we've seen that as we bring in talent, like when you have an undrafted free agent out of Corey Clement. And, you know, obviously he's had injury issues, but he's been very productive. Right? He's been very productive. Mm-hmm. You see a great O-line, you know, although absent mostly on Monday, but I, you know, cough that up to, you know, the injuries.
No, I understand what you're saying. Rookie. Yeah, and you hope that everybody, when Lane Johnson comes back, hopefully this weekend, Brian, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it once again. He comes back. Then you have, at some point, Brandon Brooks, or you just simply establish that right guard position and you hope Jason Peters plays well, say Amalu plays well, everybody involved. You just hope all of that clicks for the football team along the offensive line, because that's one place that we trusted, right? With all those veterans, we trusted them. We had no trust, no faith in them this past weekend. 610-632-0975. Bob is in North Carolina checking in with us on this Thursday night. Bob.
Hey, Javon, how are you,
Doing
man?
Great, man. Thank you again also for hanging through.
Yeah, no problem. It was tough because I've been steaming for 45 minutes. You know, I got to tell you, I love my Eagles and I love my Eagles fans, but I'm going to tell you, we lack as fans perspective. And if you would give me just a moment to illuminate some perspective on some of our frustrated fans.
Please.
Regarding Carson Wentz. So let's be fair. Here's the case against Carson Wentz. He hasn't won anything. He's a Division II quarterback. He has been injured every season. Okay? And last week, he threw two brutal picks. Okay? So this week, what are we doing? Because we're so knee-jerk, is we spent the first 30, 40 minutes of your program talking about, is it time to move on from Carson Wentz? Is it?
Well,
is it,
not us. We not us.
Okay. Well, it's the callers.
Okay.
The callers.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's not. Yeah, definitely not y'all. So here's the deal. First thing, it is even hard for a supermodel to win a fashion show in a hefty bag. Okay. And here's why.
Okay.
Carson Wentz has been so they have done such a disservice to him. This organization has. He has never had a wide receiver better than Alshon Jeffrey. Never in 5 years. Okay, and this year we finally had a chance to get Henry Ruggs. We had a chance to get CeeDee Lamb. And what do? No. We get Jalen Reagor, who's a nice player, but he wasn't to the pedigree of those two. And then we go get Jalen Hurts. Now, if people want Jalen Hurts to play, go have at it, because I'm going to drop some facts on you guys.
Yes.
Carson Wentz in 2019, we're talking about footwork, right? You know, we're talking about practice. We're talking about footwork.
Talking about footwork.
Okay. First of all, 8 sacks. Okay. I don't want to hear about his footwork. I want to hear about the footwork of the offensive lineman, the college players, the 80-year-old Jason Peters, who's still in there trying to block for this man. Number one. Number two, in 2019, your boy Adam Kaplan talking about his footwork. You know, Adam, in 2019, Carson Wentz was the first quarterback in the history of the world to throw for 4,039 yards without one wide receiver having 500 yards. The reason he's taking sacks is because he has nobody to block for him and nobody can get downfield. He's got two really good receivers in Ertz and Goddard, and oh, you know what they are? They're tight ends. Okay? This organization has done Carson such a disservice. And for us to be here at week two talking about him, let's talk about anybody but him, okay? Let's talk about that offensive line. Miles Sanders wasn't on the field. And we're always moving the goalposts too, okay? You remember last year going into the season, Devon, we were talking about, can Carson Wentz stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man played 16 games.
He did.
Totally healthy. Nobody said a thing until he gets cheap-shotted by a play that would have taken out everybody in the world. I know, oh, he wasn't healthy again. That's not fair. That's just not fair.
Okay.
And I just think that we don't need to be talking about this. Let's talk about the offensive line.
All right, so with Lane Johnson coming back, Bob, do you feel like they will be able to keep him upright and enough for him to make the plays that are needed to be made in order to win the game?
You know, I thought you were going to ask me that, and I got to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think Lane Johnson, even though our record with winning, our win-loss record with Lane on the field is substantially better than when he's off. I just don't think that's enough.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, look at how many guys did we roll in and out of that line? Phil Driscoll or with Driscoll and this other guy and
Herbig.
I mean, I don't know these people. If they're going to be getting any kind of substantial playing time, Lane Johnson can't block for them too. You know, I think Sanders will help, but you know as well as I do, Devon, that hamstrings are nagging injuries.
Yes, sir.
Is he going to be 100%, man?
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Know.
And that's why with Miles Sanders with the hamstring, and we talked about him when we talked about it last week before the first game, Bob, we were talking about, is the running back group good enough in the event that with him being hurt right now, you don't have that Carlos Hyde, Devontae Freeman, that veteran running back, that Jordan Howard, to spell him and give him that other punch when he's out there, but also when he's not out there, to still feel good and have that running game and have to go along with the offensive line and everything else to make things easier. And on Sunday, it did not look good, Bob.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't. And we gave up once again. We gave up on the run too fast. I got to tell you, I'm feeling 0-2 here. I really am. And I just wish that people with perspective, Carson Wentz does not have the tools around him, and he really never has. So let's just go with that, okay? I mean, when Foles went in, sure, he got hot. He out-Brady Brady. Okay, that's not going to happen every day. And I love Nick Foles. I'm not one of these Foles people or Wentz people. I'm not like that. I love them both. Love them both. Okay, but we were healthy on the offensive line. Nick was able to sit back there and do what he did best. And he did it the best he ever did. Okay, mm-hmm. And that's great. But look what happened after. You know, he's hurt again. Foles hit lightning and struck lightning in a bottle. Okay, and that's fantastic. I'm glad he did, because I'm 51 years old, and I never thought we were going to win that Super Bowl.
I do think
Carson Wentz people need to give him a damn break.
All right.
I just wanted to say that. Thanks, Devon.
You got it, man.
Have a great night.
Always,
see,
Bob. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. You see where Bob is on this whole situation with Carson Wentz. Let's go to Q in Center City. He's also been hanging for a while. Q, what's up, bro?
What's going on, Devon? I got to tell you, man. I truly believe that I'm in a sports depression right now.
Mm.
Like, all my superstars are immature, don't listen, young. My teams, I projected them to do better than what they did. I don't know. I haven't been here since, like, I was 15, man. Like, really, like, it's Carson Wentz. I mean, we talk about Nick Foles catching lightning in the bottle. And you said something earlier about you seen 2017. You seen that.
Right.
And I'm sitting here saying, out of those 8 sacks for the guy who never got a
He got. I remember they, when he first came out of college, all they said was he got an A on every test. He never got nothing but, like, he's a smart kid.
Right.
But maybe four of those sacks was on him. He could have threw the ball away. Maybe four of those eight sacks, he could have threw it at the feet of Ryan Kerrigan. But he wouldn't.
Right.
Even on the interception, I mean, it's something about not having the fans in the stadium where the cameras really be on the play. The quarterbacks never even made a break. Like, turned they back a little bit.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But he got still. He stared them down, threw the ball. Carson, as of late, Carson Wentz to me has done the same thing that RG3 did. Lightning in the bottle, had a great sophomore year. Same thing Derek Carr did. Gave up an MVP type season that we haven't seen.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to hear
it. Look at the numbers. You might not want to see it, but this your quarterback in his fifth year. And we're going back to 2017 to talk about his greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is my team.
You don't want to hear it either, right?
Terrell, but this is my quarterback. like, come on. I don't want to say these things.
Right.
But this is what I'm seeing.
I don't want to hear that. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. He hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't.
2017, so, like, he did. That was something. The question is, was it real? That's all. And
That's the twist. That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
That's the twist.
And it's tough because the injury happened, and, you know, is it unfair to just look at it like that because the injury did, in fact, happen?
We could throw a whole lot of different stuff in there. The bottom line is he hasn't performed up to par. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
Our fifth-year quarterback still taking sacks. That's the bottom line here. He got the pundits saying regress. That's the bottom line here. And with our eyes, he was up 17 points and already four sacks. I knew that was bad. I didn't see no win there.
Right.
I knew he was up 17, but in the first quarter, he had four sacks. And two of them was on him. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Throw the ball away.
He got to throw the ball away. How you feel about Sunday?
I lost.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We'll talk later. Thanks, man. We'll talk later. 610-632-0975. A loss. Q, plain and simple. A loss. I hear you, man. I hear you. It's unfortunate. I'm not there all the way like you, but I am starting to have my doubts about certain things. Same way when we go to Simmons, you know, if we're going to be honest about things, same way we go Simmons, I'm starting to have my little doubts about things with Carson Wentz. And, you know, in game, we see stuff and you just don't like it. You just don't like it. And you're like, all right, come on. Come on. Gotta be better. Have to be better. 610-632-0975. All right. We take a quick break and we come right back and we'll get to Lance and everybody else. We actually have some open phone lines for the first time in quite a bit. So feel free. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 on this Friday. We're talking Carson Wentz. We'll get into a little bit more of the injury updates with the Birds, some other things that are going on around the league in general, and, you know, give you an update on the Phillies like we always do here when we do the show. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens hanging out with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.